الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يحبهم ويحبونه سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one place in Quran that if the believers are not true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring yet another group of people. And one of the attributes he describes about them, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, that he, Allah ta'ala, will love them, and they, Allah ta'ala, will love him. Now the ulama understood, because obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to bring another ummah after our ummah, so actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching us in Quran what attributes we should acquire ourselves so that we become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we become the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the interesting thing here in this verse is the first thing that Allah ta'ala mentions, yuhibbuhum, and that He loves them. So otherwise elsewhere in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّهُمْ مَلِلَّهِ, that those who have iman, they're extremely intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a mention of how we have to be lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said yuhibbuhum, it's referring to how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers. So this feeling of love and receiving of love, this happens in a person's heart. In their spiritual heart, the heart of the ruh, which is called their qalb. For example, our eyes, we use them to see, our ears, we use them to hear, our mind thinks and receives thoughts from others and processes the things that we learn. But our heart, our spiritual heart, is where we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also where we feel Allah ta'ala's love for us. So this is the nature of every human being. A human being must love and a human being must be loved. This is the way Allah Ta'ala made us. That a human being must love and a human being must be loved. So a human's heart cannot live without love. Cannot live without being a lover. Cannot live without being a beloved. Now it's our choice whether we choose to have a permissible love and be a beloved in a permissible way, or we choose to do that in a haram way. But the best way to do that is the nur of the true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nur of becoming the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to the spiritual crippledness and corruption of having unlawful, romantic, lustful love for creation. Or even if we receive that lustful, romantic love from creation, that is also will be a darkness from our heart. Many of us, we don't realize, and our hearts are searching for love because we want to be loved, we want to be beloved, and because we don't learn and we don't try and we don't seek that path in which a person can become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we rather than choose to try to become the beloved of creation. But the reality is that it's our own choice who to love, and our choice must be clear that we must choose to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we must seek Allah ta'ala's love for us. If a person can make this one choice and have one love for their one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make this one choice and want to be one beloved to one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this would be the best choice that they would make. And the person who makes this choice, that is the beginning for their journey to have qalbun salim. Like Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. To how to bring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that pure heart is to choose the right love, choose the right path of love, choose the right being to be their beloved, and leave all the false loves, leave all the unlawful loves. And this is where Allah Ta'ala's love for us and our love for Him resides in our heart. This is why some ulama, they also used to mention that in a verse of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهُ اشْتَرَىٰ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased. He has purchased the believers. He has purchased their lives, their wealth, themselves. What with what? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah Ta'ala will give them Jannah. Now what does it mean? Allah Ta'ala has no need for believers, nor does He get any benefit from the believers. So He is purchasing us and giving in exchange for Jannah for our benefit. Our benefit. Now one thing the ulama write here is a beautiful thing. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that He sold Jannah to us. Rather, He sold Jannah to us in exchange for our dedication. Rather, He said He bought us. He bought us. He's not selling Jannah, He's buying us. So when you buy something, and any man or woman who has ever shopped, you buy that which is attractive to you, you buy that which is beloved to you, you buy that which your heart desires, you buy which you desire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this in Quran means that we are the murad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the murad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then some second point some ulama made, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word anfus. Their nafs, or really here it means their selves. And Allah ta'ala doesn't mention their kulub. So the reason is that Allah ta'ala doesn't need to buy our hearts. Yes, He had to purchase ourselves, our lives, our money, our wealth, our possessions in exchange for Jannah. But Allah doesn't have to buy our heart. Why? Because the heart already belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person does not buy something that already belongs. A being does not belong, buy something that already belongs to them. So this understanding leads us to the conclusion that actually if a person has Iman, they are already the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their journey of Iman begins by being the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now they have to, number one, feel the love that Allah ta'ala has for them, cherish being His beloved, and then they have to spend the rest of their life trying to be His true lover. So we begin as beloved when we take Iman. We take Iman, because of the Iman we become beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Proof, Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah Ta'ala is the wali of those who take Iman. So His giving His wilaya to us is His act of love for us, and He made us His beloved. Then what we have to do is, once this happens, so we have to now adopt the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it begins with Iman. Then begins with Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Then third is walladhina amanu ashaddu humma lillah. And then fourth is, then a person will enter Jannah and be the beloved forever. So we accepted Iman, we became beloved in this world, then we tried for the rest of our worldly life to become the lover, and then if we succeed, forever Allah Ta'ala will keep us as His beloved and lover both. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. That is the ultimate state actually of the ruh, as the souls of Jannah, that Allah Ta'ala loves them and they love Allah. And that is the reality of Jannah. Jannah is that place where there's eternal, infinite increase. So a believer will for all eternity infinitely, constantly be having infinite increase in their feeling of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for all of eternity a believer will constantly be feeling an infinite increase of Allah ta'ala's love for them. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Now what happens is that a person, deen of Islam, is such a perfect deen that it guides a human being and then guides a mu'min how to get that feeling and quality of state of Jannah in this life, in this world. So then that means that in this world also we have to reach that state of يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, that we are the great true, that we are beloveds to that great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our truest lover, and we also try to be that true lover to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who already loves us. So this is the mission that we have been given in this life on earth. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us, so now we'll mention a few points about that. Point number one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us is different than our love for Him. And Allah Ta'ala's love for us is different from any other love that we may have. You see, every love that we have, because we're humans, that love has what's called some gharaz, some maqsad, some ulterior motive, some reason. Some, if it's an unlawful love, so the ulterior motive is lust. If it's a romantic love, then the ulterior motive is I need to be loved. If it's a love for children, So obviously the love for children is true, but it also has embedded in it an hope and expectation that my children will take care of me when I grow old. I will get something from it. But if we have love for spouse, husband loves their wife loves their husband, it also has some ulterior motive. The husband loves his wife, but he also hopes that his wife will be of service and khidmat and attentive to him. The wife loves her husband, but she also has an ulterior motive and hope and expectation that her husband will be gentle and supportive and caring for her. If we have love for a student, so it might be as sincere as possible, but ultimately there's a hope that if the student follows deen and listens, then that student will be a sadaqa jariyah for us. Maybe that student will take us into Jannah. Maybe by teaching that student we will get the rizā, pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Maybe by teaching that student we'll get the maghfirat from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. A student may love their teacher, that may be a true love. But still, there's a gharaz there, that I also get benefit from my teacher. I also derive things from my teacher. I'll also get gains in akhirah and deen due to my relationship. Even our own love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gharaz, that yes, we love Allah ta'ala, we might love Allah ta'ala only, love Allah ta'ala truly, love Allah ta'ala deeply, but we're hopeful that if Allah ta'ala accepts that love, He will send His mercy on us on the Day of Judgment and admit us into Jannah. In every kind of love that a human being can have, there is some hope, some expectation, some ulterior motive, some hidden wish or desire. But Allah Ta'ala's love for us, there is no such thing. He is al-ghani al-mustaghni. He is free from any need, any desire, any want, any wish. He's absolutely self-sufficient. He's absolutely independent. To His love for us, is absolutely no ghadas, no maqsad, no benefit, no motive. So when Allah Ta'ala loves a believer, Allah Ta'ala loves them purely, selflessly. All of our loves are selfish to some extent, but Allah Ta'ala's love for the believer are selflessly. But another way you can understand it is that we love Allah Ta'ala for some reason, for some purpose, and Allah Ta'ala loves us because He wants us for His own self. He wants us for His own self. So this is the intense nature of the love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Intense nature of this love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He has bestowed upon a person. Second thing is that in this world, you will see that whenever we want to, if we have a worldly beloved, then you have to travel to meet your beloved. You have to travel to meet your beloved. But Allah Ta'ala loved us so much that yes, He, number one, He gave us this opportunity to travel, which is to go to Baytullah, Kaaba, the journey of Hajj, the journey of Umrah, so we would get that feeling of love, that experience of love, we would be able to have that outpouring of love. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Himself, so for the Kaaba there may be a journey, but as far as Himself goes, there's no journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is there no journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no traveling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because there's no distance between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, Huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. He is with you wherever you are. So there's no need to journey or travel. He is already with you. His ma'iyat, His companionship is with us at all the time. Then Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that He is near to us. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ, that He is intimately even more near to us than our own self. In a hadith, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, أَنَا جَلِيسٌ مَا ذَكَرَنِي, I will be the side companion. I will sit in the company and right next to whomsoever does zikr of me. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that you make zikr of me, I, Allah, will make zikr of you. So it means that Allah Ta'ala gave us this intense love, because that's the way a lover is. A lover wants what? That they should never be far from their beloved. Lover wants they always want to be near their beloved. Lover reassures, no, I'm always here. I'm always with you. I'm always by your side. This is the way Allah Ta'ala is talking to us in Quran. So this is the incredible love that Allah Ta'ala has for the believers. And because everything about Him and His nature and essence and His attributes and acts are incredible, so the way He loves is also incredible. That we are so blessed that by virtue of this Iman, we get the incredible love from that incredible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That incredible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third aspect is that even if the lover will say to their beloved that I'm always with you, always near you, always by your side, still, there is sometimes the lover wants what? Iliqa. Liqa means they want to meet. They want to meet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us was what? So what I mentioned, number one, is that okay, an approximation of that liqa is okay, you travel and journey to Kaaba and you do tawaf around Kaaba, it will be some approximation of your traveling to meet me. But the real meeting will happen on the Day of Judgment. The real meeting will happen in Akhirah. So Allah ta'ala refers to the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ, that is the day that they will meet Allah. And what will happen on that day to the believers? تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ سَلَامُ, that their greeting on that day that they do liqa, that they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be salam. He will send them his greetings of peace, his sendings of peace, his emanation of peace. He will surround and envelop and imbibe their spiritual hearts with salam, with peace. And then, وَاللَّهُ يَدْءُ إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامُ, all their life, Allah Ta'ala is calling them, inviting them to Dar es Salaam, which means the everlasting abode of peace. So the greeting on the day is Salaam, and the invitation is to the abode of Salaam. And what will happen on that day will be a meeting with Allah Ta'ala, and also in Jannah, the Ahlul Jannah will always be meeting Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is how much Allah Ta'ala loves the believers, that He calls them to Him. He wants them to be with Him. He wants to keep them by Him for all of eternity in Jannah. And then in Jannah, He will call them to special gatherings and special majalis, which Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Quran, gatherings of sidq, gatherings of truth, where they will get to gaze upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of His resplendent beauty, and also gaze upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of His resplendent glory. So this is a special, special love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us. Now it's up for us that why do we love Jannah? Well, we love Jannah for this reason. The real reason we love Jannah and desire Jannah is because of the host of Jannah, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to enter Jannah because we want to visit the host. Like even in this world, if you really, really desire to go to a person's home or house, it's because you want to meet the person. So the real desire for Jannah in the heart of the believer is this desire to meet Allah ta'ala and to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now then look at Allah Ta'ala's love for human beings, that okay, Allah Ta'ala invited them, and He sent anbiya to them, and then what would and to remind them, and He sent revelatory scriptures, wahi, to them, to remind them that the purpose of their life is to meet Allah Ta'ala, to view and gaze upon Allah Ta'ala, and then what happened is people forgot, so then Allah Ta'ala sent another Nabi, and then again they would forget, and then Allah Ta'ala sent another Nabi, and over 100,000 times Allah Ta'ala sent the anbiya to remind that your purpose of your life is to meet Allah Ta'ala, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is the reminder in our deen? Because obviously Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatum al-Nabiyin. So then Allah Ta'ala, when He called Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to meet Him, so then what Allah Ta'ala did in our case is that He called our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to meet Him. This is known as the Isra and the Miraj. The Miraj. So Allah Ta'ala took Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this life, in his worldly life, He took him up all the way past the seven heavens, Siddhatul Muntaha, Kursi Arsh, and then beyond the Arsh into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where even the angels have never gone, even where angel Jibreel never went. And then at that moment, when Allah Ta'ala called Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up for this meeting, Allah Ta'ala gifted him with the gift of Salah. And one of the marifats, one of the subtle wisdoms and subtleties about this gift of Salah is that, well, now you have to take back your ummah. In fact, you have to take back the entire human race, insan, this gift of Salah. Why? Because after you, there will not come any more anbiya that will remind them of this meeting, remind them of their Allah, remind them that they have to live their life to meet Allah, to see Allah Ta'ala in Jannah. But you take back this gift of Salah, in Salah will be the reminder. Salah will be the practice. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salatu مِعْرَاجُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that Salah is the spiritual ascendancy and the spiritual heights of the believers. And this is why he taught us that when you pray Salah, أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى, that you should pray as if you're seeing Allah Ta'ala. So you practice the meeting and seeing of Allah Ta'ala inside your Salah. And as long as you keep praying Salah, you will keep and practicing it in that way, then you will always have a reminder that your purpose in life is to meet Allah Ta'ala, see Allah Ta'ala, meet Allah Ta'ala, see Allah Ta'ala. Every Salah. So this is important, that why, and this is something we mentioned in also the talk last night, that a person should do tasawwur, khayal, that in their heart they should always imagine this, that in Salah is my meeting Allah Ta'ala, and Salah is my gazing upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And if they practice their Salah like this, and they offer and pray their Salah like this, and they do that year round, then they can get that feeling. It's not just a practice, that a person who tries and makes effort and stays away from sin, then Allah Ta'ala will give that feeling in this world. So then what does their worldly life become? Their worldly life becomes that state of Jannah. They get that state 5 times a day. The asal state of Jannah, that meeting Allah Ta'ala in a way that you are pleased with Him, meeting Allah Ta'ala in a way that He is pleased with you, and feeling the feelings of gazing upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gifts that to a believer in their 5 times daily salah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So this is ajeeb love that Allah Ta'ala has for us. Ajeeb love that Allah Ta'ala has for us. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has mentioned in Quran that on the Day of Judgment, what will happen to people initially, the people will not be able to raise. Allah Ta'ala will manifest, literally it's called His shin or ankle, saq. It means Allah Ta'ala, because the people will be looking down, Allah Ta'ala will send a nur, a tajalli, He will send a manifestation of His beauty and glory at their eye level. Now because they're looking down, so their eye level would be as if they were looking at the ankle or shin of a person, so Allah Ta'ala will send it down. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala will attract them. So first that will happen will be that due to the azmat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the jalal of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the magnitude of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, even the anbiya and mursaleen, even the sahaba, awliya, siddiqeen, salihin will all be looking down. No human, no insan will have the ability to raise their eye and cast a glance upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But because Allah Ta'ala wants the pious ones, so He will cast His Nur of Tajalli. Now for those who are believers, who are Ashabul Yameen, who are those who are destined for Jannah, that Tajalli will be one of His Jamal. So when they see a reflection of the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, then they will be so attracted and allured to that beauty, then they will lift their heads and raise their gaze in order to be able to gaze upon Allah Ta'ala's wondrous beauty. And for those who are going to be from the Ashabu Shamal and from the Ahli Jahannam, Ashabu Nar, who Allah Ta'ala is not going to send His mercy on that day, then what they will see is a glimpse of Allah Ta'ala's Jalal and magnitude. And when they see Allah Ta'ala's Jalal and Azmat and magnificence and might, they will feel even more fear. They will feel even more remorse. They will feel even more regret. They will be even more terror inflicted in their heart. So because like a person when they're caught as a criminal and they look down, they don't want to look up because they know if they look up and they look around, they'll feel even more guilty. They'll feel more exposed. They'll feel more caught. So because they weren't looking up for this reason, then Allah Ta'ala will cast that, He will show them a reflection of His Jalal. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala in any case has said in Quran that He will not speak to them, He will not gaze upon them, He will veil, there will be a veil between them and Him. So Allah Ta'ala will not let such people even gaze upon Him, but He will give them a taste of that Jalal, so they realize that it was the Jalal and Azmat and Kibriyai of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that they disobeyed, due to which they will be reckoned with and punished and sent to the fire of Jahannam on that day of judgment. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And as we mentioned also to people in the previous or few nights ago beyond that, Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanvi, since we're talking about the gazing of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, so then first what will happen is on that Day of Judgment, then the believers will raise their gaze, then they will stare at Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then their faces will wujuhi yawma idhin nadira, إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. Their faces will be gleaming, shining, brilliant, sparkling due to the fact that they are casting their gaze upon directing towards their Rabb. So that will be the state of their day of judgment. They will already get that nur. Then they will enter into Jannah. And when they enter into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will from time to time call them to a grand special assembly. And in that grand special assembly, what will happen? In that grand special assembly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will invite the believers to gaze upon Him. Gaze upon Him. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Now a question arises that, okay, when the people of Jannah, they get to gaze upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then that must be it. That would be then that all of the rest of eternity would just be spent doing this, gazing upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here is another aspect of the lover and the beloved. Now our love for Allah ta'ala would definitely, certainly demand that of us, that we would lose all interest in every other thing, and we would only and only gaze upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah ta'ala's love for us has its own demands. Allah ta'ala's love for us has its own demands. The Allah ta'ala's love for us is such that He wishes that yes, we should gaze upon Him, but He also likes to see us enjoy the eternal, infinite bounties and blessings that He has prepared and kept for us in Jannah. So because Allah Ta'ala Himself will want, the believer will want that I leave all those blessings only stare at Allah Ta'ala. But because Allah Ta'ala will want that the believer should enjoy the bounties and blessings also. So Wallahu Ghalibun Ala Amrihi. Well, Allah Ta'ala will always ultimately make, it will dominate and prevail over His matters and affairs. Allah does that being fa'alun lima yurid. He ultimately does what is in His wish and intent and desire. So how will this happen? How would it happen? Now if Allah Ta'ala were to tell the believers that, okay, now I will withdraw this, your vision of mine, so that you may return to your bounties and blessings, this would be against the sifat, the attribute of Allah Ta'ala being Al-Kareem. It would be against His attribute of being generous, that He withdrew Himself or withdrew a ni'mah from the believers. So then Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanvi has mentioned that then what will happen is while the believers are gazing upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of His resplendor, beauty and glory, then at some point when Allah ta'ala's wish is that the believers should return to their bounties and blessings, Allah ta'ala will manifest His jalal. Allah ta'ala will manifest His jalal. Now I will add to this now our own feeling of how we think this will take place. The Allah Ta'ala will gradually manifest His Jalal. So when the first jalak, the first ray, the first aspect of that Jalal is manifested, so then the lower ranks of the believers of Jannah will turn away, and then they will go back to their bounties and blessings. And then the rest will still be able to see. Then Allah Ta'ala will ever so slightly show slight more aspect of His Jalal. Then others will also start to leave. And they will start leaving one by one until ultimately then the only Anbiya are left, gazing at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally the Anbiya will leave until only Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gazing at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows for how much infinity Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be gazing at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will also enable Allah ta'ala's love for the believers, because otherwise if everybody left together, then the believers, instead of enjoying the ni'mas and bounties and blessings of Jannah, they would simply want to be with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. So then Allah Ta'ala will keep, and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will keep staring at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the believers will be busy in their other bounties and blessings. And then Allah Ta'ala will even show so much of His Jalal that even Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be able to gaze upon that Jalal. Then he will also withdraw. When he withdraws, then many of the believers will then now get to spend their time in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they will soak all that nur, special nur, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got due to his extra prolonged gazing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the believers spend enough time with him, that they soak that nur from him, then again Allah ta'ala will call everybody again and repeat the whole cycle. The whole cycle. Now in this process, what will be happening is that in Jannah, all of the things will continue. Number one will continue that Allah Ta'ala is Khalik and we are Makhluk. He is, there's Farq, there's a difference between us. That He will retain His mastery and sovereignty and dominion over us by showing us that aspect of His Jalal. Second, that no matter how much we may get from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala directly, there will also be something that we get from the wasita. Wasita of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stays longer for that prolonged gaze of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and then we, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala grant us Jannah, when the Ahlul Jannah sit in His company, then they will get a part nur through Him and from Him. So all of insan, all of Ahlul Jannah will continue to be the ummati of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just like they continue to be the makhluk of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this will continue throughout the whole eternity. This will continue throughout all the whole eternity. So this is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way, this is the future that Allah ta'ala has wished and dreamed, and Allah ta'ala has rather wished and intended and planned and decided for us. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to. Now we cannot imagine any greater love than that. All of this makes clear when we understand the Akhirah. It makes clear the greatness of the love that Allah Ta'ala has for us. It makes clear that He is truly the greatest lover, and we should be so happy to be His beloveds, and we should make ourselves into His great lover. And then this is the whole concept of Deen. The whole concept of Deen will be understood and attained by a person who does all of these things. So this is the unique and incredible and wondrous nature of the love. And this is another aspect then. You see that in this world, no lover wants to be separated from their beloved. Right? So Allah Ta'ala, this is why we live forever. So a person would say, why do human beings live for eternity? Well, because they're going to become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no lover wants to be separated from their beloved. So Allah ta'ala never wants, once He loves those beloveds of His in Jannah, He never wants them to be separated from Him. Now the only way to make sure that they would never be separated from Him is from His own power and His own decree to grant them eternal life. He Himself is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Himself He lives forever. But from His own power and decree, He will make His beloveds live forever. Why? Because of His intense love for them, that He never wants His beloveds now to be separated from Him. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So our very existence for eternity, that very life of eternity, will also continue and persist, all due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. So then what happens then is that the basis for life itself in Jannah, the basis and foundation for eternal life itself in Jannah, is nothing else and nothing other than the love that Allah Ta'ala has for the believers. So then Allah Ta'ala's love for us will be our essence, will be our core, will become our asl, will become our haqiqat, will become our reality. And that is what is called eternal bliss. To exist purely in the love for Allah Ta'ala, for the love for Allah Ta'ala, to exist purely as His beloved, and to exist purely as His lover. That is the real meaning of eternal bliss and joy and happiness. This is that falah, this is that surur, this is that fawzul adheem. This is that tremendous success and joy, that happiness that will befall a person in Jannah and will remain their state. Then another aspect is, something I also mentioned earlier, is that a lover always, the true great lover, always increases in their love for their beloved. They find new ways of loving their beloved. They find new ways of showering their love upon their beloved. So this will also be the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His love for us will never fade. It will never wear off. It will just increase. It will find new ways to manifest itself. Even in fact in Quran, when Surah Rahman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'an," to some of the ulama, they said, that sha'an can also refer, it refers to one, is Allah ta'ala's own sha'an, His own majesty. That every day His own majesty, splendor, might, glory, power has a new aspect to it, has a new perspective to it. Another meaning can be His sha'n-i-muhabba, His aspect of love. Every day he loves his believers in a new way, in a new manner, in a new aspect. And if that's the reality in this world, then imagine the type of love and the ever-changing and dynamic and constantly increasing, infinitely increasing love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower on the believers in Jannah. Will shower on the believers in Jannah. So given that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us so much, would it not make sense for us to love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us so much that He wants all of our love to be exclusively for Him. So there are four different levels of love, four words that represent love in Quran al-Kareem: Raghbat, Talab, Muhabba, and Ibadah. So Allah ta'ala wants all of our raghbat should be for Him, our talab should be for Him, our muhabbat should be for Him, all of our ibadah should be for Him. Our raghbat should be for Allah. Allah ta'ala says that the believers, they're only and only to Allah ta'ala are they raghibun. Raghbah means they're yearning. Raghbah means they're yearning. And talab means they're seeking. When Allah Ta'ala was talking about the mushrikeen, Allah Ta'ala said that the mushrikeen, whatever God other than Allah Ta'ala, whatever deity other than Allah Ta'ala they seek, it is weak. ذَأُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. So Allah Ta'ala wants all of our ragbat for Him. He wants our talab for Him. And obviously Allah Ta'ala wants our love for Him. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. That indeed those who have iman, they are extremely intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then fourth and final, the greatest aspect of love, what Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned is Ihya in his Kitab al-Muhabba, that the highest level of Muhabba is Ubudiyyah. Ubudiyyah, to make your Mahbub your Ma'bud. And Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ wahid, that your Ma'bud is only one Ma'bud, your Ilah is only one Ilah, the one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, when Allah Ta'ala wanted us to have all these loves for Him, that's all because of His love for us. So one other beautiful aspect of Tawheed is not only that we should believe and love and worship and obey Allah Ta'ala exclusively, but it's that Allah Ta'ala wants us exclusively for Himself. Not just ibadah. All your worship should be for Me only. Your ultimate, true, deepest, most ardent, passionate love should be for Me only. Your talab, your seeking should be for Me only, and your ragbah, your desire should be for Me only. This is the level in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers, and this is the level in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love Him. You will see in this world also that if a person loves someone, so they said, I want you all to myself. And that's the aspect of their love, because they really love that person. They want that other person to love them entirely, exclusively, everything. So just like that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers, He wants all of their raghbah, talab, muhabba, and ibadah all for Himself. Allahu Akbar Kabira. You know, there's a saying in the Arabs, some think it is a hadith, but that's incorrect. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said this. According to the muhaddithin, he never said it. Allah knows best, obviously. But the saying is that when people reflected on this aspect of how much Allah Ta'ala loves the believers, لَكُنْتُ كَنْزًا مَخْفِيَّةً أُحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُعْرَفْ. It is as if that Allah Ta'ala had viewed Himself to be a hidden treasure, and He loved and wished to be known. What means that Allah Ta'ala created the world out of His love, and He created the world because He wanted to manifest His love in the world. And that is the ultimate aspect of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest lover and the greatest beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest lover and the greatest beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you know, there are some signs, alamat, some signs that make it clear that Allah ta'ala loves His creation. That this is a two-way love, that we love Allah Ta'ala, and that Allah Ta'ala loves us. First sign is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the sustainer of that person. He fulfills all the needs of that person Himself. He makes the difficult tasks of that person easy. Just like a mother
If she has a small child, an infant, the child infant doesn't have to do anything. The mother does everything for the infant. The mother arranges the food, arranges the clothes, all the earning is done by the father. So it means it's just like as completely as an infant child is completely sustained and nourished by their parents. Just like that, when Allah Ta'ala loves a person, then Allah Ta'ala fulfills all the needs of that person himself. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. He becomes the wali, and then he actively does the wilaya. He does the active nourishing guardianship of those mu'mineen who are saliheen, who are virtuous, pious, righteous servants and slaves. So Allah Ta'ala is our Rabb. He's our wali. This is the sign that he loves his creation. When he loves someone, he intensifies his wilaya and rububiyah on that person. Second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hadi. Allah ta'ala gives hidayah to a person. Allah ta'ala gives advice, you can say, to a person, guidance to a person. Guides that person even in their life decisions, can guide that person on iman, guide that person on deen. How Allah Ta'ala can inspire that person's heart with a feeling, like when we make istikhara, we're praying istikhara salah. What is that? We're asking, we're making dua, that Allah Ta'ala inspire our heart. So that's a love. You see, just like if we love someone, then we sit down, we try to advise them, we try to counsel them, we try to give them guidance to the best of our ability. Well, Allah Ta'ala has perfect and complete absolute perfection in his ability, and because he loves believers, he loves to be their al-hadi, he loves to send his guidance and advice and counsel upon them. So this is also a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person. A third sign that Allah ta'ala loves a person is if Allah ta'ala makes the love of the dunya unworthy in his heart, makes the dunya unworthy of their love. So such a person, they don't speak of the dunya, they don't desire the dunya, not even a single speck or atom of love for dunya remains. So what does it mean? Their whole life is busy in deen, in ibadah, in khidmat, in dawah, in ilm, in any and everything to do with deen. They have no space in their heart for dunya. So when Allah loves a person, they make that person occupied and busy in the work of deen. Sometimes in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they exert their body for deen, their mind for deen, their heart for deen, their time for deen, their family for deen. It's almost like there is no worldliness left in them. Doesn't mean they will earn. They may earn, live, function in society, but there's no worldliness left in their heart. They have no taste for the world. The world becomes tasteless. But when Allah Ta'ala loves a person, He makes the world tasteless to them, and then Allah Ta'ala gives them the taste, zawq, za'ika, shawq, gives them the taste and passion for deen. And this is the third sign that Allah Ta'ala loves the person, is He makes them value the dunya in the same way He values it. And Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, قُلْ مَتَاءُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ, that proclaimed to them, my beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that all of the stuff in the dunya is just a trifle. So this is a sign that if we also begin to feel that the dunya is just a trifle, it's a sign that Allah Ta'ala loves us. A fourth sign that Allah Ta'ala loves a person is that Allah Ta'ala gives that person tawfiq to make munajat in khalwa. Munajat means supplications, du'as to Allah Ta'ala, pining of the heart, shedding of the tears, yearnings of the tongue in khalwa. Khalwa when they're alone, in seclusion. So they spend their alone time. You know, people who are so into their nafs, so they like talking about me time. What do they mean? They say, oh, I need time to myself. I need time when I'm alone. I need to get a break. I need to disconnect. I need to be away. Even some people who don't understand the beauty of family, they talk like that about their own family. Oh, I need me time. So the husband says, I need me time. I need to be away from my family and kids. Wife says, I need me time. I need a break from my husband and kids. With the person on deen, when the sign that Allah loves them is He fills up their me time. So there's no me time for them. Their me time is all their Allah time. Their me time is their Rabbi time. Their read time is the time I spend with my Rabb. So they get some chance to be alone. They get some free time. They have some seclusion. Fursa, faragha, khalwa. They give that time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe if they're so busy, they can't find that time. That's why they wake up at the night. Because they're desirous for that time. They want that time. So they say, what can I do? My whole day I'm so busy with work, family, children, this, that. There's only one chance I have to get time alone with you. you, and that is by waking up in the depths of the darknesses of the night, when all of the world is asleep, and all of the worldly duties are finished and away, so that I can enjoy the sweetness of my worship and ibadah of you. So this is also a sign. If Allah Ta'ala loves a person, Allah Ta'ala gives a person this tawfiq. So that was the fourth sign. Fifth sign that Allah Ta'ala loves a person, and this is a little bit of a difficult thing, and I don't want people to misunderstand that. It doesn't mean we should want this. But the Arabs have a saying, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَهُ, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves one of His servants and slaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes tests that person, puts them in a test. Why did the Arabs say this? Why was this a saying of the early believers? Because they saw that Allah Ta'ala loves the Anbiya the most, and He put them in the most tests. Allah Ta'ala loves Sahaba second most. After the Anbiya, they were the second most tested. And Allah Ta'ala loves the Awliya the third most. And after Anbiya and Sahaba, the Awliya were the third tested. So this is part of the love. Why? That when a person is tested by Allah Ta'ala, it actually, Allah Ta'ala is trying to fan the flames of love for Him in that person's heart. That the person will turn to Allah Ta'ala more, with more desire, more yearning, more passion, more worship, more tawakkul, more reliance, more dependence. So this is why sometimes Allah Ta'ala can place a person in difficulty. And no doubt, other times, a difficulty comes not because Allah Ta'ala loves the person, but because Allah Ta'ala is punishing the person because of their sins. Because Allah Ta'ala is punishing a person because of their sins. So the way the ulama and mashayikh said that you can tell the difference is that when you're in that difficult time, do you remain steadfast on deen, or do you find yourself slipping and sliding on deen? If you're steadfast in deen, that punishment came out of love. That test and trial came out of love. And if you're not steadfast on deen, that test and trial came as a punishment. Another way to check is that your ibadah, does your ibadah go up or does the ibadah go down? If the ibadah went up, it's a sign that that test and trial came out of Allah's love. And if your ibadah goes down, it's a sign that the test and trial came out of Allah's punishment. Another way to check is your heart. During that test, trial, and affliction, is your heart even more radhi, happy, and content with Allah Ta'ala? Does your heart feel more love for Allah Ta'ala? That means that that test and trial came out of Allah Ta'ala's love for you. Or, on the other hand, in that test and trial and affliction, does your heart feel distant from Allah Ta'ala? Does your heart feel estranged from Allah Ta'ala? Or, na'udhu billah, does your heart feel, na'udhu billah, upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's a sign that that test, trial, and affliction came out of a punishment for some sin. Then the next sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person is Allah ta'ala removes all of the fears and sorrows from a person's heart. This is a sign that Allah ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, that those whom Allah Ta'ala loves and befriends and who become His awliya, Allah Ta'ala says that there's no khawf, there will be no fear upon them, وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor shall they ever sorrow, nor shall they ever have any grief. So this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khawf means they won't have fear from shaitan, they won't have huzn from their nafs, they won't have fear from anything outside in the world, they won't have any huzn, sorrow for anything in their heart will be so filled with the contentment of Allah ta'ala, being razi with Allah ta'ala, radiyatan mardiya, enjoying the fact that Allah ta'ala is razi with them. Then the next sign that Allah Ta'ala loves a person is that Allah Ta'ala starts granting their du'as. In a hadith in the Sahih Bukhari, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a long hadith, but the Prophet said that a person, the Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala said, so hadith you could see, that Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ abdi, that my servant and slave does not come close to me bishay'in, by means of anything, ahabba ilayya, more beloved to me, mimmaftarazdu alayhi, than that which I have made obligatory upon him. So the most mahabub amal that can bring a person close to Allah Ta'ala is doing the fara'id. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَكَرْنُبُ إِلَيِّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ, And then the servant and slave continues to draw closer to Allah Ta'ala by means of the nawafil, by means of extra voluntary acts of ibadah and good deeds, hatta uhimbahu, until then I love him. So this is word for word what we were talking about, Allah Ta'ala loving the believers. Hatta uhibbahu, until, it's hadith Qudsi, so Allah Ta'ala saying, until I, Allah Ta'ala, love that person. Fa'idha ahbabtuhu, and then when I love him, kuntu sam'uhu alladhi yasma'u bihi, I become the hearing through which he hears. Wa basaru alladhi yubsiru bihi, I become the vision through which he sees. Wa yaduhu alladhi yabtishu biha, I become the hand through which he strikes. Wa rijlahu, wa rijlahu, and I become the feet by which he walks. Now what does this mean? Why are these things mentioned? Allah Ta'ala mentions the ear and the eye and the hands and the feet. Because the ears and the eyes are the organs that bring love into the heart of the person. Because hearing is they listened to Quran that made them love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Looking, they looked at Quran, they looked at deen that brought them into the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they used their hearing and sight for the sake of that love. So Allah Ta'ala says, now they hear through me and they see through me. And then hands and feet. So those are the a'mal of muhabba. So when they got the feeling of love, then they did the acts and actions of love using the hands and feet are emblematic, symbolic of act and action. So they have the acts, so they did acts and actions out of the sake of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, now I'm the means by which they act and I'm the means of their actions. And then Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ, and if this beloved slave of mine asks me anything, su'al makes du'a, la'u'tiyannahu, I surely bestow it upon them. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So here it's a long hadith, it continues, but this is a sign that Allah Ta'ala loves a person, that their du'as are accepted. And this is also established as clearly in Sahih hadith, that there are such people like that, whose du'as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does accept. There are such people like that, who Allah ta'ala accepts their du'as. And if we should try to find a person like that, ask them to make du'a for us, especially in these special nights and moments of the month of Ramadan. Especially in these nights and moments of the month of Ramadan. Then another sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is what we had mentioned earlier, the ma'iyyat, a person starts feeling that, feeling it. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, it's mentioned in Quran, inna Allah ma'ana, la tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana, that don't have any worry. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala is with us. Allah Ta'ala said another place in Quran, inna Allah lama al-muhsineen, that indeed Allah Ta'ala is certainly always with those who do virtuous deeds. And another place Allah Ta'ala said, innani ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Musa, Nabi Harun, look, when you go on this mission of da'wah, I will be with you. I will be with you. And don't worry, I will be hearing everything and seeing everything that happens to you on that path of da'wah. So this is this notion, what Allah Ta'ala mentioned earlier in the Hadith Qudsi, that I become the hearing to which they hear, I become the eyes to which they see, and Allah Ta'ala Himself is ever hearing them and is always looking at them. And another example of this from a Sahih Hadith also in Bukhari, إِنَّ مِنْ عَبَادِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ, that from the servants and slaves of Allah Ta'ala, there are such people who are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if they were to take a qasam, if they make a statement taking Allah Ta'ala's name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill their qasam, will fulfill their qasam. So this is the notion, this is the way Allah Ta'ala loves a person. Another sign that Allah Ta'ala loves a person is that when Allah Ta'ala afflicts them with a test, when they pass that test of love, Allah Ta'ala gives them a reward. He gives them something even better. Allah Ta'ala gives them even something better. So let's take examples from two Anbiya in Quran. When Allah Ta'ala tested Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam with a deep illness, he took away his family, his wealth, but he passed. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam was sabir, sabur, was extremely patient. So then Allah Ta'ala then rewards him by saying, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلُهُمْ مَأَهُمْ. rahmatan minna wa zikra li ulil albab, that we bestowed upon Ayyub alayhi salam, we restored to him his ahl, his family, wa mithluhum ma'ahum, and a whole other family the like thereof, as a mercy from us, and as a warning, admonishment, sign, lesson for the people of understanding. So this is the lesson we take from Quran, that when you have sabr, that Allah Ta'ala will bestow, restore you to whatever you lost, and He will bestow even more upon you. Then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was also tested by Allah Ta'ala, that were you willing to slaughter my son, your son, Ismail, are you willing to slaughter your son, Ismail alayhi salam? So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam showed yes. So then what happened? Obviously, number one, Allah Ta'ala saved Nabi Ismail alayhi salam from that slaughter. And then what did Allah Ta'ala say? وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ نَافِلَ. So we bestowed upon Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam Ishaq and Yaqub extra. Actually it was Ismail, but now he gave him another son. He was asked to sacrifice one son. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked to sacrifice one son. In return he received another son, who was Ishaq. And then Ishaq alayhi salam had another son, Yaqub alayhi salam, who had another son like you all know, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. So he was willing to sacrifice one son, Ismail alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala gave him, restored him that son, kept Ismail alayhi salam protected from the knife by replacing him with the ram, and gave him another son, Ishaq alayhi salam, and gave him grandson, Yaqub alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And we made each and every one of them from the Salihin, and we made each and every one of them from the Ummah. And then the third example is the story of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, that he wanted to stay in Jannah, but so Allah Ta'ala put him in a test. Allah Ta'ala put him in a test, and the test was to put on earth, and the same test is for all of us then, that all of insan have this test, which is life on earth. But you pass this test, Allah Ta'ala will bestow something far greater. He will then give us life in Jannah. He will give us life in Jannah. But even then, when Allah Ta'ala tests His beloveds, He tests them a little bit compared to the ajr, thawab, fazila, but compared to the how much bounty and munificence Allah Ta'ala showers upon them once they pass that test. So these are some many signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person. Then some more aspects where we can understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers. So number one, Allah ta'ala is ar-razzaq. Ar-razzaq, He gives us rizq. Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, that there is no creature that walks the face of this earth except that Allah ta'ala has taken it. Allah ta'ala has voluntarily taken it upon Himself as His duty to provide rizq for that person. So that's love. That's the love that Allah Ta'ala gives. So when Allah Ta'ala loves us so much that He's Ar-Razzaq, we should love Him back. We should be Abdul Razzaq. We should love that Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Rabbi Kareem, and all those things. We should make dua to Allah Ta'ala like that. That Ya Allah, whenever You sent Your rizq, the taqseem of Your rizq, You never forgot me. You never forgot me. I'm so amazed and I'm forever indebted and so feel so beloved and honored and so grateful to you, Allah Ta'ala, that You would always remember me. To Allah Ta'ala giving us rizq is a sign of His love for us. Second is that Allah Ta'ala gives a person health. You know, we take our health for granted. Like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, that honor and value your health before sickness overwhelms you. And that's our problem, that we only honor our health and value it after the sickness comes to us. Only when we're sick do we realize what a big ni'mah, bounty and blessing health was. But in reality, health is an incredible blessing. And when you think about it, there's so many chances for us to get sick. There's millions and trillions of bacteria and germs everywhere. But we don't get sick. How many times do bacteria and germ enter our system, but Allah Ta'ala protects us from being sick? It's every now and then a person gets a bacterial infection, viral infection. The vast majority of the time a person doesn't get sick. How many times would me and you have actually been exposed to some cancer-causing thing, but Allah Ta'ala saved us from having cancer? We've been exposed to the things that for other people may have made them ill, but we didn't fall ill because Allah Ta'ala protected us. So the siha and health. So then imagine if Allah Ta'ala took our health away from us, what our life would be like. So that Allah Ta'ala who loves us so much that He gave us health and siha, we should love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then third, Allah Ta'ala did hifaza. He protects us, He protects our life, our families, our children, our cars, our wealth, our property. How many times could a burglar have burglarized us, but he chose someone else? How many times were we in a near miss, hit and miss accident, but Allah Ta'ala saved us? How many times has that happened? Maybe we were driving, racing towards our death because an accident was going to take place at that place, but Allah Ta'ala made us change lanes at the last moment. Who knows that maybe somebody was planning to harm us. Allah Ta'ala turned the heart of that person away from us so they wouldn't harm us. They wouldn't undercut us. They wouldn't undermine us. All of this is the hifaz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is the hifaz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is taking such good care and so much preservation of us. Then fourth point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also protects us from our enemies. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that He who a'lamu bi'a'da'ikum, that Allah Ta'ala knows best who your enemies are. He knows best. And what does that mean? Many times we might not know. We might meet that person, associate with that person, sit with that person, even laugh with that person. But Allah knows that he's our enemy, and all the while Allah Ta'ala will be protecting us. All the while Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala will be protecting us. This is what I mean. Hu a'lamu, I know more, means I know what you don't know. I know what you don't know. This person might outwardly appear to be your associate, your friend, but in their heart they hold a grudge and grievance. In their heart they have some hostility, enmity towards you. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And initially Allah Ta'ala said this in Quran to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these kuffar mushrikeen, they have such hostility, enmity towards you, but don't worry. Hu a'lamu bi'a'da'ikum, Allah Ta'ala knows best who your enemies are and how they plot that enmity, and they can, Allah Ta'ala can protect you and can does protect you from them. Then in the fifth blessing that Allah Ta'ala has given us, that we can feel that Allah Ta'ala loves us, He's given us family. Ask the people who are not married how hard it is to be unmarried. You will understand and value having a spouse. Ask those couples who can't have children how sad they feel not having children. You will be honored and feel so happy you have children. Ask those people who only have sons and they don't have a daughter, and you have a daughter, you will still feel happy that you have a daughter. Ask people who have daughters and don't have a son, and you have a son, you will realize and be so happy that you have a son. And those who have both will be extra blessed and happy that Allah has blessed them. So this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. With the whole sometimes we're very ungrateful for this. We're unworthy parents. Sometimes we're so strict with our small children, we're even stricter with them than they deserve. And still Allah ta'ala gives us more children. Maybe we're a bad father and mother, Allah still blesses us. Still blesses us with another child. So this is the incredible love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. The incredible karam and fazl and love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. And that can also be taken for extended family, relatives, support. These are all ways that Allah Ta'ala manifests His love for us. Then there's some sifat, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some sifat, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that also make it clear about Allah Ta'ala's love for us. Allah Ta'ala's immense and incredible love for us. One is that Allah Ta'ala's Al-Halim. Allah Ta'ala is before we do the ways that Allah Ta'ala loves us through His attributes, still a few more points on the way that Allah Ta'ala loves us through His inamat. One is that our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, Allah Ta'ala al-Harim, it means that Allah Ta'ala does not punish His servant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish His servant as soon as the slave commits a sin. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has hilm. He has forbearance. Although He has ilm, Allah Ta'ala said, "Wa kana Allahu aliman halima." That indeed Allah Ta'ala always is ever-knowing, yet is still ever-forbearing. He knows everything about all the sins that we did. But still He is halim, He waits. He gives a person a chance that they'll make tawbah, they'll make amends, they'll change their ways, they'll turn back to Me. So I won't expose them now. I won't punish them now. I won't punish them now. Allah Ta'ala is so alim, He knows when the person makes the intentions to do the sin. He knows when the person goes toward that sin. He knows when the person does the sin. He knows when the person considers the sin, weighs it. He knows when the person chooses the sin over him. He knows and sees when the guilt comes, the hesitation comes. But instead of choosing Allah, instead of choosing Deen, the person chooses sin. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala knows that. But still he's Halim. And then he knows, look at the way the person is coming. And he knows when the person makes istighfar, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. He knows all of that. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. So to be Halim with someone can only be done out of love. To show Hilm with someone is an act of love. To Allah Ta'ala is a great lover. Therefore he is Halim, he has great Hilm. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala is As-Sattar, As-Sattar, As-Sattar. That Allah Ta'ala conceals and hides and veils our sins. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Now what does it mean? It means that we have nothing in us. No, we would have no izzat, no honor, dignity if Allah Ta'ala was not Sattar. Even if you might think, no, I have honor because people praise me. When they praise you, they're not praising you. They're praising the satari of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're actually praising how wonderfully Allah ta'ala has covered and concealed our sins. Because were they to have known or discover or even get a glimpse or an idea or a hint of our sin, they would never have ever viewed us as praiseworthy. So this is all Allah ta'ala being satar with us. Being satar with us. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So, this is Allah Ta'ala's love. Allah Ta'ala's love. Like the mother will cover up the sins of the son. The mother will hide and conceal the sins of the son. The mother will not want that anyone in the world should ever get to know about the sins of her son. And she'll be Halim. She will keep giving her son a chance that he'll make up, he'll amend. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Allah Ta'ala's infinitely more like that. Allah Ta'ala's infinitely more like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another aspect of Allah ta'ala's love is, like another point about it, is an aspect of love. It means that Allah ta'ala's love is unconditional. Allah ta'ala's love is always there. You know, any other love in this world, whoever you love, they are weak. They're naqis. They're mazur. They can't perfectly love you. Sometimes they might be too busy to love you. Sometimes they might be stuck in their own worry. They're too worried to love you. So every other love has flaws in it. But because Allah Ta'ala Himself is flawless, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's flawless, He's the being of absolute perfection. So He loves perfectly. So there's no conditions, there's no lapses, no moods in Allah Ta'ala's love. That can be another way you can look at it, that any lover in this world is moody. That even if they truly love you, but it still depends on their mood, how much love they will treat you with. But Allah Ta'ala's not like that. He doesn't have airs and moods. No, it's pure love, unconditional love, raw love, unfettered love, love with no airs, nothing like that. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is the love that Allah SWT has for believers. Then, in our worldly loves, you can also have something which is called nisyan. Nisyan means just out of a person being forgetful. So it doesn't mean it's a mood, it doesn't mean their love has a lack or a lapse. They just became a bit forgetful, a bit negligent, a bit neglectful over their beloved. But Allah is not a lover like that. He is that lover that when He loves, there's no nisyan in His love. There's no ghafla in His love. There's no neglect in His love. It's pure, absolute love, absolute, infallible love. Allah Ta'ala is the infallible being, and He's infallible in His love. So why do we want to chase these other loves, weak love, fallible love, love that takes the false loves of this world, which have moods and airs and conditions attached to them, loves which can be mistaken, loves which can err? So why don't we choose that perfect love of that perfect being who already perfectly loves us? Already perfectly loves us. And another aspect, when once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that final decision on the Day of Judgment to love that person, then that love is eternal. Whereas a person in this life, they may say, okay, I've made my decision, I want to love you. But that love is temporary. That love's not dependable. That love is fleeting. That love is ephemeral. They may pull back from that love. They may withdraw, which is called divorce. They may withdraw from, if it's husband and wife, they may withdraw from that love. So that all the other loves are temporary, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His decision to love that person on the Day of Judgment, then that love will be eternal. that love would be eternal. And then, so what does that mean? There's no concept of betrayal, no concept of disloyalty, no concept of being unfaithful, no concept of separation. All of these things are absent in the love between Allah Ta'ala, the love Allah Ta'ala has for believers. Our love is weak. So sometimes we love Allah, but we betray Him. We betray Him notwithstanding our love. We're disloyal to Him notwithstanding our love. We're unfaithful to Him notwithstanding our love. We separate ourselves from His hukum, His command. We might be like that, but Allah Ta'ala's love is not like that. Because Allah Ta'ala's love doesn't have these characteristics in it. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah Ta'ala is the truest lover, so why shouldn't we make Him our beloved instead of getting caught up in all these unlawful, lustful, romantic affairs? Rather, we should love that being who is the truest lover, who is the best lover, who is the most ardent lover, who is the most passionate lover, who is the loyal lover, the caring lover, the honoring lover, our loving and beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our loving and beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when you feel like that, when a person starts waking up to this love, then what do you want? So you want to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala said, yes, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. That your Rabb says to you, oh, make dua to me, make dua to me. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبْ, I'm near. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ, that we are even closer to you, we're أَقْرَبْ to you. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ, we're always with you. Allahu Akbar. So this is the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. He's ever present, ever listening, ever watching, always there, always caring, always ready to respond. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Whereas in this world, even if somebody truly loves you, they can't always be there. Sometimes you're busy. Allah Ta'ala is never busy. I mean, Allah Ta'ala is never busy in that sense that He's busy, that He can't reply and respond to us. He's always ever present, the perpetual lover. The perpetual lover is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one last thing that can come up is what, well, in this world, even, so let's take the most perfect love between two people in this world, inside nikah, everything, perfect love. Still, sometimes what happens in this world, if one party becomes angry with the other, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that. Allah Ta'ala is such a lover, He doesn't want the other party ever to be angry with Him. So one of His names is Al-Hannan. Al-Hannan means that being who cannot tolerate the other party being unhappy, distant, separated, disenchanted with them. So because of that, Allah Ta'ala reaches out to which? Allah Ta'ala reaches out to those insan who are angry with Him. Look at the lover, reaching out to the beloved who is angry with Him. Reaching out to the beloved who doesn't love them back. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. That, oh human being, who do you disbelieve in Me, you disobey Me, you are upset with Me, you are disenchanted with Me, you are estranged from Me. Allah Ta'ala, Hanan, He can't tolerate that. So He reaches out. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala tries to reach out to that person. Another place Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you going? Why are you running away from Me? Why are you turning away from Me? This is the lover calling out to the beloved, come back. Where are you going? Allah Ta'ala is trying to console that person, attract that person who has turned away from Him. This is the ultimate lover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the ultimate lover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is called Al-Hannan. Then, another attribute of Allah Ta'ala is Al-Mannan. Al-Mannan. Al-Mannan means that being that He gives to people sometimes even without them earning, even without them wanting, even them without being deserving. Why? Because He loves them and He wants them to have it. Purely out of His love for them. So Allah Ta'ala is the Hanan lover. Allah Ta'ala is the Manan lover. Allah Ta'ala is the Halim lover. Allah Ta'ala is the Sattar lover. And Allah Ta'ala also says He's the Wali lover. He's a Wali. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. He's the Wali lover. Deep, intimate, loving, gracious, companion, friend, lover. Allah Ta'ala is the Wali lover. Then obviously, then Allah Ta'ala is what? He is the Rahman lover, Rahim lover, Ghaffar lover, Ghafoor lover. You will see in this world, if some lover makes a mistake, okay, their beloved might forgive them once. Okay, they make the mistake again, they might forgive them twice. At some point, they keep making the mistake, no matter how strong that love was originally. Ultimately, the beloved will stop forgiving them. Ultimately, they say, no, now it's too much. Now it's too much. How many times are you going to betray Me? How many times are you going to hurt Me? How many times will you disobey Me? No matter how strong the love is, ultimately that beloved will give up. Allah Ta'ala is not like that. Allah Ta'ala is not like that. Because He's the Ghafoor lover, the Ghafar lover. No matter how many times that person sins, Allah Ta'ala never stops sending His mercy and forgiveness to them when they seek His forgiveness and make tawbah. The At-Tawwab lover. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Proclaim to them, my beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which them, those who keep sinning, keep betraying, keep wronging, keep disobeying, tell them, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. They should not worry, not despair, because Allah is their all-merciful lover. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى can forgive all the sins entirely. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah Ta'ala, He is that one who is all forgiving, all merciful. This is that lover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that lover who we need to be seeking out on these nights. This is that lover who we seek out in Ramadan. That Ya Allah, we were the ones, we were ungrateful, unappreciative, uncaring. We didn't fail to honor the love You had for us. But now, Ya Rabbi, we realize that You are our Manan lover, Hanan lover, Ghafoor lover, Ghafar lover, Rahman lover, Rahim lover. Now, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to make You our beloved. Accept this one dua from us this night. We want to give up everything for You. Want our heart to be filled with You. Want to burn away all our unlawful desires. Want our heart to only have desires for You. We want to extinguish all the unlawful pleasures. We want all our pleasures to be for You. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we give our heart to You, our ruh to You, our soul to You, ourselves to You. Accept it, Ya Rabb. Accept it, Ya Rabb. You are the one who accepts, Ya Rabb. You are the kind one. Kareem Rabb, accept us on this night. Accept us in this month of Ramadan. This is our niyat we should make. These are the du'as we should make. And Allah Ta'ala, being that amazing lover that He is, He never turns down His beloveds. He never turns away His beloveds. He never rejects His beloveds. Allahu Akbar Kabira. To Allah Ta'ala, kabool us. Make us Your maqbool muhibbeen, Your maqbool mahbubeen, Your accepted lovers and Your accepted beloveds. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We make dua, Subhana Rabbina ala wahab, Allahumma salli ala siruna Muhammad wa ala ali siruna Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam takfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ya Allah, our Rabb, You are such a kind lover to us, such a true lover to us. Forgive us, Ya Rabb, we were the worst beloveds, we were the most ungrateful beloveds, we were the neglectful, negligent beloveds, we were the disloyal, disobedient beloveds. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make tawbah to You. We're making tawbah, Ya Rabb, now we want to be true to You, loyal to You, obedient to You, longing for You. Accept it, Ya Rabb. Accept this dua, Ya Rabb. These last moments of Ramadan, these last days and nights of Ramadan, we spent 1 month searching for You, 1 month seeking You, 1 month desiring You, 1 month feeling Your love for us, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Now make this love strong, Ya Rabb. Make this bond of love, make it a pact of love, make it a nisbat of love, make it a ta'luk of love. Ya Rabbi Kareem, never let us go back astray. Let us never betray You again. Let us never turn from You again. Make us Your loyal, loving, obedient servants and slaves, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, take out all the unlawful loves from our heart. Take out all the unlawful lusts from our heart. Take out every unlawful love of dunya from our heart. And fill our heart with the love for You. Love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for Quran Kareem. Love for Deen Islam. Love for all mu'mineen. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, unite us in this love. Raise us on the day of judgment in this love. Let us gaze upon You with love. Gaze upon us with Your love. Unite us in Jannah with Your lovers. Make us in Jannah from Your beloveds. And in this dunya, Ya Rabb, make us misdaq. Make us the reality of Your hibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. That You love us and we love You. We accept it, Ya Rabb. We want it, Ya Rabb. We pledge ourselves to this path of muhabbah. Ya Allah, accept this niyat from us. Accept this irada from us. Accept this tawbah from us on this night. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, any and every thing, Ya Rabb, that we can do in this world to make us more close to You, more loving to You, more beloved to You, guide us on that path, connect us on that path, strengthen us on that path, make us firm and steadfast on that path, and keep us always and ever away from anything that distracts us from You, anything that makes us depart from You. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, You are so loving to us in Ramadan. Ya Allah, continue this love, increase this love, manifest this love. We'll be more needy afterwards, Ya Rabb, when we leave the masjid, leave itikaf, leave this month, leave the fasting. What will be left with, Ya Rabb? Tell us, Ya Rabb, on this night that we will be left with You. you, that we will always have you, that you will never leave us, Ya Rab, that you will always keep us close to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us true, Ya Rab, accept us as your lovers, make us amongst your beloveds. Ya Rab, we ask that you spread this love to the whole Ummah, make the whole Ummah from your Muhibbeen, make the whole Ummah from your Mahbubeen. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Rabbana takambal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim, utubu alayna innaka anta tawabur rahim, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Amen.